The NFL playoffs are on the doorstep. There's a bit of stuff happening in the NBA. Kevin Durant's out injured. We're worried about that. Plenty to talk about on another episode of Third and Five. All right, Simon Hampton here with James Thwaites and Dave Rice for episode number 54, I think I've got that right, of Third and Five. Good to be talking with you both again. You doing well?
It's weird. Like, we've pretty much done a year of episodes now. I think back to that first one. Lots of reminiscing going on at the moment.
And just wonderful durability, if I'm going to pat ourselves on the back here, because I don't think we missed, like, we are reliable. I don't think we missed an episode.
Hey.
We've had people sit out, but
we've had people. Those people are you two. I've been on every single episode that we've ever done.
I'd like to... I was in hospital for one of the episodes.
Yeah,
you were too. Maybe that counts for two then.
International travel, health, nothing gets in the way of Third and Five, it seems. So I'm sure our handful of listeners are all delighted to know that.
Absolutely. I think the other thing that's been kind of speaking of reminiscing, congratulations to the winner of our Third and Five fantasy football competition. We won't shout their name out, but we've put it on social media, which is far worse. So it's all over the internet. But Dave was our only hope because both Simon and I were doing terribly this year. Terribly, horrifically.
Came right in the playoffs, still finished top half.
I did consider requesting a couple of trades from you guys, just try and burst me out. But then I thought, I actually got that offer from a friend that was in the final in my other fantasy, and I sort of just declined him. Can't bring it into dispute.
Exactly. But so congratulations. It was a depressing season for some of us, but others can definitely take a victory lap.
Yeah. The least said about fantasy, the better for me. Across both of my leagues, actually. So we'll
speaking of bad weeks, lots of head coaches are now being fired. Cliff Kingsbury's finally gone from the Cardinals, which I think any Cardinal fan will be happy about at this point. Lots of GM positions open as well. And potentially a few more to come as well. Offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator positions as the teams that didn't make the playoffs start doing their end of year reviews and interviews. So keep an eye. One of us three again might be a GM or a head coach of a team next season. Watch this space.
Yeah, the teams are really, you can see all the non-playoff teams all going through their culls. Clearly that was a big thing this week, and getting everyone into the office and deciding what to do with the coaching staff. The Jets just got rid of their offensive coordinator, I think.
Apparently, part ways with Mike LaFleur, who's the offensive coordinator for the Jets.
Did you say mutually or emotionally? I thought you said emotionally part ways.
I mean, probably both.
Mutually.
It'll be interesting.
But see, the way that the football works, like you've got obviously the draft in normally late April, so it is real important. Like, it's not that much time, so you do actually need to, if you're going to clean house, you want to bring the new people in if that's what you're going to do, so they can kind of get on board. They can be a part of the scouting of all the different prospects and looking at who you're going to take, and you want that to be done ASAP. You can't wait till March, so it is kind of all steam ahead, and there's no sort of break for the front office.
Yeah, well, the football season does a good job of staying in the headlines year round, and so that does mean there's not really any respite. We come out of the Super Bowl, and it's not like there's like a multi-month gap. It pretty quickly turns into building up for the draft. So and it's going to be a good draft this year. And obviously, the Texans blowing a shot at the first round pick was pretty funny over the weekend. But
love the head coach just pulls the middle finger at the organization on the way out the door with that win. It was awesome.
He knew he was gone, right? But yeah. So that's probably a great example of maybe don't make it so obvious as the management that you're going to get rid of a guy who can still kind of cause problems.
Or I think I heard it on Bill Simmons or something, like, he just get rid of the guy as well. just
I
put in an
prefer,
interim,
yeah.
put in an interim coach, or put in, like, you clearly want to lose that game and get the top pick. So, just if you're going to sack him, just sack him a week early. And
The one that I'm very interested to watch, though, is the Cardinals, considering that, there's rumors swirling around now that they're going to have to trade DeAndre Hopkins to try and get some picks back in this upcoming draft and do a bit of a rebuild around Murray. So we'll see.
it's funny to hear these teams having to go through rebuilds, like just after signing these massive quarterback extensions. Like
Yeah, well.
the idea of signing what should be your franchise quarterback to this big 6-year deal, and then having to trade your star wide receiver to get draft picks to then build around him, is like, it's
Yeah,
clearly
as
something's
a
gone wrong there.
for the Cardinals, like if you go back 12 months, you've got, JJ Watt spearheading the defense. You got Kyler Murray with that deal you're talking about. You got DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best five wide receivers in the game. You're sort of optimistic. I know he had a suspension at the start of the year, but like you're optimistic that you've kind of got the nucleus here, sort of three really, big star players that you can build around. Was it Zach Ertz that went there? Like they're just now you're looking at it, and I think we might get onto it a little bit later with some of our awards, but yeah, it's a bit of a head scratcher with the Cardinals.
14 months ago, they were like 9-1 as well, and in a pretty good space midway through last season. So, yep, there's a bit of big off season for the Cardinals to rebuild. But why not take that opportunity to rip into the awards, as you alluded to there, Dave. So we've
What
handpicked.
are our fantastic awards?
Yeah, I'm just getting the list up now. So we've handpicked a couple of unofficial awards. It would be better if the NFL actually used these awards, but so we've got the overachiever, the underachiever, the bust award, the looked good until award. So that could be looked good until, they got injured or traded or something happened. Future is bright award. I think we could give that to a team or a player, and the abandoned ship award. And I think we can give that to a team and players or player as well. Is that
We
all of
got
them?
two little bonus ones. We
Oh,
got best player of the year and then idiotic player of the year. So let's jump into the first one. So what are we doing first?
yeah, let's lead off with the overachiever.
I think potentially we might all have the same one apart from Dave, who's looking slightly smug with his and probably written a list of at least 12. But I think I'm gonna have to go with Geno Smith, for a player, quarterback, obviously, like went out there, bet expectations for sure. I think my very close runner up, though, was Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers. So, doing a coach award slightly, onto their third quarterback and still winning games. So, both definitely overachieved considering, what was expected.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would agree. Certainly, the Seahawks. Well, I mean, I expected them to be competitive, as if you listen to our preseason episode. So, they were right about in line. But I would say the New York Giants as well. I still think they overachieved a little bit. I mean,
I mean, they made the playoffs, and we
they made the
all
playoffs
four of
as a.
us had them coming in fourth in the NFC East. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
but the NFC
Daniel Jones
East
is a good quarterback.
they nearly had all four teams in the playoffs at one point. So you could still be fourth in that very tough, brutal division and still make it.
But that shows how good how much better they are than the other teams, I think. And that even in a brutal division, they could still come out with, what was it, 10-7 or something. Daniel Jones is quarterback. Obviously, he's not the superstar quarterback. So I think they did very well. And I'll put them as overachievers.
Another example, like talking about Shanahan, like a very well coached side that
Yes.
probably through having such a, a good coach on top of his game has, really extracted the absolute maximum out of a fairly average side otherwise. The other ones I had, I mean, I definitely had the 49ers in there. I've got the Vikings and the Eagles. Now, when we're just talking about overachieving, I think going into the season, like personally, I didn't think the Eagles were going to be as good as they were. And they were, there was, as we've talked about before, they were close. There was talks of them going 17 and 0, and then it was like, oh, maybe 15 and 2, 16 and 1. And, so I think that surprised me just how, how good. And that's probably on the back of Jalen Hurts taking as big of a leap. I did not expect that at the start of the year. So
Probably got to give a bunch of credit to AJ Brown as well. You know, their wide receivers just turned exceptional. I don't know if I quite agree with you on that one, Dave, but just because I had them winning the division, I think all of us had them coming second in the NFC East. I think if they had gone undefeated, I would agree, but you know,
Well, let's put it
whether that
this way.
feels.
Would have you been super confident? And we didn't really talk about seedings at the start, but would have you been like, yeah, Eagles are 100% going to be top the one seed?
Probably not.
Yeah. So I think in that regard, that and they were pretty much one seed locked
Yeah,
for a long time.
I would have said top three though, but they're pretty close to being top three. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I can see where you're
It's
coming
a
from with
yeah.
that
It's
one.
I'm not coming from in the sense like the other ones. I think are just like we're expecting not much, and then especially with like say the 49ers after the injury, you know, and third string, and then with Geno. But like it's a different way of looking at the overachieving. It's we expected good things from them, but I just think they exceeded that.
Yeah, talk to me
Yeah, so
about the
they
Vikings though.
go.
And then the Vikings is just end of the day. But you know, I've been slamming them all year, but like the fact that they got. What are they? Their third seed in the end. Again, I think they're 11-0 in close games and one score games. And I think, yeah, I think on another season they could be outside the playoffs. It's just so I feel like that in that regard they've kind of overachieved. And we'll get down this in the future when we talk about the picks. But I think they'll be one of the home teams that lose this weekend. But yeah,
Yeah.
that's for later. But yeah, that's kind
Yeah,
of. I mean,
absolutely.
that's well documented, but we've talked about with the Vikings where.
It's kind of interesting when you look at the Vikings and the Lions because I feel like they've both had similar seasons from the fact that they've either, in the Vikings case, won lots of close games or in the Lions case, lost lots of close games. And, you know, both, you know, those win-loss records could definitely be flipped around the other way for either of those teams. So, yeah, I like that call. I think that's
And
great.
I remember last year, like, and this is to the Vikings' credit, last season. They were like the Lions. They were on the wrong end of a lot of close single score games. I can't remember the stats, but it was, yeah, most of their games were one score games. So, you know, for the Lions' perspective, they've got to look at like what the Vikings did. And then the next season, you know, NFC North for us, like, so, you know, you just got to make a few tweaks. And, you know, you can't say it's a fluke winning that many close games. They're obviously doing the right things, whether it's the kicker nailing at the right time or, you know, obviously Jefferson and Cousins coming up big when they need to. But yeah.
Yeah, I think with the Vikings, it's like I don't think they're probably 13-4 good, but I think they're still a good team, obviously, and certainly a playoff quality team. But that will be an interesting game this weekend. We'll talk about that later on. The Vikings Giants game, I think it's definitely one of the better games of the round. So, overachievers, what about underachievers?
Oh
Don't know.
boy. Don't we just
Oh,
love to just
boy. Oh boy.
tall poppy syndrome. Just let's cut down some hopes and dreams of NFL teams. I mean, I'm gonna let somebody else do the obvious one. I feel like Simon probably has been lining this one up for a while, but I think my I've got two underachievers. Matt Ryan and the Indianapolis Colts. I think going into the season, I had a lot of high hopes for them. I thought Matt Ryan was going to go in there, have a monster year with Michael Pittman Jr. Their defense was going to click. Holy shit, I'm wrong. It was just an absolute train wreck. And then the other one for me is probably the Green Bay Packers. Just purely from the point of you have, what is it, four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers there. Who's a good quarterback? The wheels just completely came off the Packers this year, so they were definitely an underachiever. Realistically, like we expect Aaron Rodgers and a Packers team to pretty much always be in the playoffs unless there is horrific injuries. So yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean that. Yeah,
They
you know,
lost
go on, go on, Dave.
he lost his top wide receiver. And I think what it you know, I was listening to I think it was the Bill Simmons prod this week, and they talked about how Tom Brady has set this like expectation now that these guys can play into their 40s at this elite level. And it might just be that Rodgers is getting old, he's 38. So he's definitely wasn't the same player he was a few years ago this season. So there's that aspect. But But yeah, the Packers, like the one I actually reckon, I know you, the obvious one that you're talking about, Thwaites, but I thought of one other one late, is the LA Rams.
For sure.
Worst,
Okay.
worst. No, I know, but it's, this is on the back of this worst record in history by a Super Bowl defending champ, by the defending champs going into the next season. Worst record. Now, I
We're
do
on a
get.
podcast and people can't see me kind of like inquisitively staring at you through the Zoom camera, but I mean, you know where I'm going to come at you with this. Aaron Donald basically shut down towards the end of the season. Look, Aaron Donald, I think, was shut down when the season was no hope. Matthew Stafford obviously went into the season injured. He then got injured and he's been out the last however many, six or so games. And then Cooper Kupp as well. I mean, they definitely weren't a what looked like a Super Bowl contending team prior to that. And, you know, like that team has just been absolutely chaotic all year. Like, you remember when they were trying to trade Cam Akers? They didn't. He didn't turn up. Then suddenly he's back in the squad again the last few games and he's doing 100 plus yard games. It was definitely chaotic. I don't,
So you don't think they underachieved by winning five games?
I think they did because they, yeah,
I think they, I
that's
think they
they
got
had
even
to.
it's not even a question. Like
No,
go
but
look at
no,
go look
but
back in September and look at like every article in the history of articles. There would not have been a single publication that would have said the Rams are winning five games this year.
yeah, but okay, here's a good question for you. Do you consider a team that is plagued by injuries, where injuries add to their loss column, underachievers when it is out of their control?
But I don't think if they were fully fit, they never looked good from the start this year.
That first game that you were at, they got absolutely blown out of the water.
Yeah, agree. I think
And
they had some unluckiness, but I don't think it was like the excuse for the whole season. Like, I
No,
didn't
I
think
think
from at the start they were even looking like a they looked
yeah,
bad.
that their offensive line was pretty trash from the outset. That's a good point. I don't know. Like, I'm still a little bit out on that one. I completely agree. Like, history's not going to sit there though and say like, oh, remember all these injuries. History will just look at the stat line the following season and be like, yeah, they did overachieve. So, okay, I'll agree with you.
And what will be talked is like how Sean McVay, what coming back or whatever. But now we haven't said the one more, Simon. What do you reckon?
Well, the Broncos are the obvious one. But I'd say the division rival, the Raiders as well. Say both those teams. I mean, the Raiders, I've been pretty vocal about my, criticisms of Russell Wilson and everything here. But the Raiders, for me, it's like they traded for Devontae Adams and suddenly now it's like Derek Carr's out and it's almost like a rebuild and or something needs to change in Las Vegas. And they were bad all year. And despite, being pretty good last year, and then they bring in one of the best wide receivers in the game and they look even worse. So I think the Raiders for sure are one of the big underachievers this year.
I mean, I know we talked about it a little last week. I think their defense definitely was an underachiever. Their offense, they were scoring a lot of points. Like, Devontae Adams probably had the quietest 1,600 or 1,500 yard receiving season in history. Like, because
It's because no one cares when you're losing.
But
No, I know. Like, when
is
I
that
read,
garbage yards? Yeah, it must have been just
yeah,
kind of like chasing the game, getting
chasing
sort
game,
of.
more passes. Yeah.
They had to win an average on 28 points to win games. Like, that's how many points their defense was giving up. We obviously saw that horrific loss to the Cardinals when they were up like 17 points at some point when they were playing at home. To me, honestly, like, I just think the absolute number one underachiever is the Broncos. Like, looking at that team, when you sat there at the beginning of the season, you're like, they've got a great defense. They're getting this amazing quarterback, or supposed amazing quarterback at the time. They've got a great tight end. They've got Javonte Williams, who's, this young stud running back. And then they've got Jerry Jeudy and a bunch of other, like, star wide receivers. Like, that just had a team that just looks so fantastic on paper. And it was just awful. Like, and even like fantasy backs that up, like fantasy, like people were drafting those wide receivers high and like Javonte Williams high and Russell Wilson high, and just like the wheels absolutely came off.
That will segue perfectly into the next section being the biggest bust, and that is one Russell Wilson.
For sure.
I think that's all I've written down. I've got a few for most, but that's all I've got. So, and it's because at the end of the day, and I mean, you like what you just said, like they were sort of picked as like the dark horse in the AFC to make a good Super Bowl run. And I know you were sort of on that, and it was on the back of thinking it was 2015 Russell Wilson, and yeah, he's pulled out one of the all time poor, you know, sort of regular season NFL regular seasons of a sort of established player,
okay.
certainly of a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
I definitely agree with you, and I feel like that 100% is the number one, and it's number one by a clear margin. I got four names for you though. For both of you guys, I want you to tell me if you would consider them a bust based on last year. Not a future bust, but their season was a bust. Justin Fields.
No.
I didn't expect
even though they've got their first number one pick in 50 years or 70 years. It's crazy.
So, and the only reason
I'm more excited about Justin Fields than I was a year ago. Like,
okay. He showed more this year than last year.
Yeah.
He did. And, like, you know, like, he definitely had a lot of running yards. His passing yards were trash, though.
Yeah.
Jury's still out whether he's the franchise quarterback for sure. But
okay. Next bust that I want to check with you guys on our bust meter. Kyler Murray.
Bust meter. Probably
leaning to bust
because of that extension.
And, yeah. Injury didn't help, but I think bust. I think even before the injury, I'd probably lean towards bust on the back of the contract, as Si said. Yep, I agree.
Cool. Zach Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Absolute bust. Even, do you buy into the fact that the Jets are saying we're still in on him, we're going to give him a chance, or do you
they're
think
trying to, they're trying to build it, keep his trade value up?
Okay.
That's all they're doing. Zach Wilson's a bust. Zach Wilson's not going to be a starting quarterback until 10 years from now, when the Seahawks trade Geno Smith to the Broncos for a bunch of draft picks, and the Seahawks bring in Zach Wilson, who hasn't been a starter for 10 years, and then he looks amazing in Seattle, and history will repeat itself. But no, in all seriousness, I don't think, second overall draft pick, like, he's was terrible this year, and yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to him, but he's not a starting quarterback.
Just on what you said, I think the Jets are notorious for picking bad quarterbacks, drafting bad quarterbacks. And I think literally in the last decade, the only good quarterback they've drafted is Geno Smith, and he wasn't good for them. Literally he's now good for someone else.
Okay.
Such a Jets thing.
My final bust one.
Someone will definitely take a chance on Wilson though, for sure. Oh, and like, and like, I don't know that Dallin Stallman is their starter, but they'll definitely give him a chance.
Okay, my final bust on my bust meter. Deshaun Watson. Considering, okay, I know he hasn't thrown football in 2 years. I know he's an absolute piece of shit. I also know that he's guaranteed a shit ton of money over a lot of years.
I think I don't think it kind of, the games that he played, that the Browns were pretty much gone by the time he came in. I think it was probably more about just him getting like reacclimatized with the NFL and getting reps and yeah, I think the jury's still out. Like, yeah,
next year's the one for Watson, I think.
So, I mean, it's that contract is an abomination, so it's a bust in that regard. Like, it's to be guaranteeing someone that hadn't played for 2 years that much money, but I still think he could come back next year with a full sort of preseason, etc., like, and be, you know, maybe similar to what he was a few years ago.
Okay. So, okay, we've got a good measurement there. I guess that kind of segue is very nicely.
What about Mitch Trubisky?
Mitch, fuck you guys. Mitch Trubisky was already a bust.
Keen listeners of this podcast will understand that.
I think that kind of pivots nicely into our next award, which is looked good until. So, you know, a team, a player looked good up until a certain point, and then everything went to shit. For me, I'm gonna start us off. I'm gonna combine two together, and it's gonna be Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. What a way to start off a year! The guy, you know, did not agree to a contract with his with the Ravens in the offseason. Basically, decided to have a prove it year. Was absolutely lightning, lights out for the first few games of the season. Then slowed down a lot. and then got injured. Basically, reports today he didn't practice and he's not looking like he's going to play this weekend in their playoff game. So for me, the Ravens are going to be first round exits against the Bengals. I think that's probably not going to be a surprise to anyone. And Lamar Jackson and the Ravens looked good up until their wide receivers went down and Lamar Jackson got injured.
And they looked terrible without him. Like the last few weeks, they've looked been such a dull watch. I agree fully.
It's kind of weird as well because, like, this, I think shows how good the 49ers are. Obviously, their backup quarterback is a bit of a cheat code backup quarterback with Jimmy Garoppolo. But, you know, the Debo Samuel got injured in the season. George Kittle is fluctuated. Trey Lance was this starting quarterback. He got injured. Jimmy G got injured. And now they're onto their third string. The Ravens are onto their third string. The Ravens also have a really good defense, and they just look like shit. So again, credit to the 49ers.
I wonder whether the 49ers would have looked as good with Trey Lance steering the ship.
I really wonder that a lot as well.
Yeah, because I'm not really sold on him. I've never been sold on him. I always thought it was an odd draft. But yeah, it's obviously a hypothetical that we can never answer. I've got one that you're not going to like. I'm going to tweak it slightly. You said look good until. I'm going to say looked unbeatable till. And this is the Philadelphia Eagles until Lane Johnson went down.
Yeah, I'll buy that. So, yeah, that was a big loss for the Eagles.
Obviously, the headlines are all about quarterback. It's always quarterback heavy and it's Jalen Hurts. But really, where the Eagles sort of have deteriorated or gone back a little bit in the last month, hasn't been so much about chat. I mean, that hurts as well, has not helped, but definitely the Lane Johnson injury. And they'll be doing absolutely everything. I believe he was needing surgery and he's holding off to try and give himself a chance to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I like that because, like, you know, there were a lot of awful games towards the end of the regular season there. Like, I mean, Dave, I'm sure one you remember quite fondly is the get out of jail free game that they had against the Texans where they, you know, the Texans really kind of pushed them to their limit. So yeah, great call.
Yep.
Yeah. One other one is Chase Claypool, who looked pretty good for the Steelers. Not a world beater by any stretch, but didn't do a heck of a lot at the Bears. Just looking at the
probably
numbers,
comes down to
he got a lot less name? Yeah,
less
but
targets,
it's like
they brought
him in. He got less than half the yards he had in Pittsburgh in about the same number of games. So, and then now with the Bears getting the first overall pick, it's like they paid 32nd overall pick for Chase Claypool is a pretty steep price to pay, I think. So, not that that's really relevant for this award, but it sort of adds insult to injury. So, there's a slightly under the radar one. But yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, I can't think of too many others. I mean, the Dolphins without Tua is probably one, I guess, but it sort of came and went. Like, whenever they had Tua, they looked like a genuinely good team, and then without him, they've looked like this weekend without him, I think the Bills are just going to just walk all over them, win by 30 points, worst game of the playoffs. So, yeah, that'll be the other one.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, what around to next?
We got the Future is Bright Award. Who's going to be a future stud?
I don't even know if this is a hot take, but I think everyone's going to agree with this is Trevor Lawrence. The step up he's made this year is incredible. The coaching that they've got at the Jags looks great. The players that they're surrounding him with, next year they get Calvin Ridley on the team as well. They've got obviously Eddie in at the back and Hasty, the other back there, Evan Engram at tight end. Like, I just, that team is going to be scary as hell next year.
Yeah, I reckon what you want, like, and again, this has been mentioned plenty of times, but when you're the number one pick, you go to the worst team from the year prior, right? Now, what you want when that happens is you want, obviously, coaches to be changed and a coach like Doug Peterson to be brought in, or it could be like a Sean Payton, you know, just like an elite coach. Because that's going to be so good for your development. And Trevor Lawrence did not get that first year. So you can pretty much write off his rookie year as having literally probably one of the worst coaches in NFL history in Urban Meyer. So you sort of write that off, think, okay, now Doug Peterson's in here and just look at the leap he's taken. And he's only going to go one way. Yeah, he's definitely just going to continue going forward, getting better. He looks a lot more comfortable. And what we should expect to see is just less mistakes, which I think plagued his first season. And you know, yeah, I think that's a fair take.
For sure. One I'm going to go with is the Houston Texans, just quietly. Because I mentioned last week, I think they were, what, 2-12 or two and not more than 2-12, but whatever. They look quite good a lot of this year, and now they've got second overall draft pick. They'll get a good young quarterback, presumably, quite possibly Bryce Young, and build around him. Like, I'm going to say, like, dark horse that they are competing for the playoffs next year. They might be pushing it a bit too far, but I think they're in a pretty good spot to build forward from here. And despite their record this year, I actually liked a lot of what I saw from the Texans.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
And like the interesting thing about it is, if you are like a Sean Payton or one of these coaches sitting out there, it's actually a pretty desirable like place to end up. Like you said, you've got a bunch of draft picks, and it took them a while to get to this point because obviously they had this GM years and years ago, when DeAndre Hopkins was there, was doing all these stupid trades, basically destroyed the team, gave away. I mean, like DeAndre Hopkins was traded, I think, for a second round pick. So, you know, I mean, like just all mind-blowing stupid stuff. So it's awesome to see like that they're potentially in a position to succeed.
Well, and what I said, just what I just said with having Doug Peterson go to the Jags, that will actually be a big thing on the success, especially if it's, say, Bryce Young goes there, on his chances of having a really good, of coming, hitting the ground running and being effective. I'm going to put down to coach being a big part of that. And obviously, we don't know who the coach is yet, but yeah, hopefully, from the Texans' point of view, that they do get someone, you know, that can, you know, get the most out of the team.
Yeah, if I was going to pick a team to start supporting right now, the Texans would be a actually one I think it would be quite a fun time to jump on board with them. Any from you, Dave?
I
Quickly.
had futures bright. I had Jets and Lions,
Yeah,
just because
I love
both
it.
teams, but probably the two best teams not to make the playoffs, and they're really a lot of young players, exciting, and yeah, Jets are a quarterback away from being true contenders.
Yeah.
You know,
No small thing to fix,
just a
but
one
yeah.
minor insignificant detail of the team,
Little position they need to work on. I
but
think
we've
they need
already
a
talked about the number of free agents that are going to be available. So, you know, they could get someone pretty good.
All right. Well, one other one now is the abandoned ship award. So someone that we are just jumping off the ship on.
Marion
I mean,
Cardinals.
yeah.
What Dave? You going who?
Marion and the Cardinals.
Okay, I'm gonna just for a change, I'm gonna challenge you a little bit on that. I think it's basically very similar to Russell Wilson at the Broncos. I want to give it one more year under a different head coach. I really want to see what they can do next year. You know, they're heavily involving Kyler Murray in the search for the new coach. So I
Do
get
you like
why you
that?
would
Do
want to.
you reckon having a young quarterback, like, and do you think it's important to have them having that input? I know they have to obviously be able to work well together, but is it the right thing to do?
It's a dangerous game, but I think in this situation where you've just given out this massive contract, I think you do it to try to keep Kyler Murray happy because he was clearly not happy towards the end there with Cliff Kingsbury.
And will Kyler Murray's interview question be, how many hours of Call of Duty will you let
COD.
me play? Will that be part of his interview? Just so
What's
you
your
know,
Activision?
coach.
What's your Activision username?
Yeah, just so you know, coach, double XP weekends, I don't play. I only play Mountain Dew. Okay, I'll buy
I
into
reckon.
that. I think.
I reckon Sean McVay plays COD. Maybe he'll get to the Cardinals.
Well,
Looks like it.
Royce O'Neal, Donovan Mitchell, and Kyrie Irving all play COD together. And
Yeah, I've heard.
the
Yeah.
day that Mitchell got 71, they were all playing Call of Duty that morning, and apparently Kyrie said, "You're on fire. You're gonna have a huge game tonight." This sounds made up. Not made up. Okay, so my abandoned ship, apart from Call of Duty, because it's not that great this year, is Green Bay Packers. I want nothing to do with them at all. Like, I
That's not
really,
much.
really don't. Like, Aaron Rodgers again is just going to make it all about him in the offseason. Last year, we saw Devonta Adams basically turn down the same exact offer at the Green Bay Packers to go to the Raiders. I think it's going to be all about him again this year. As an organization, it kind of puts you in a shit place because you can't really move forward. You can't make decisions if you've got that key place in there. And it's going to suck up a lot of cap regardless. You know, it's that $60-odd million, I think $59.5 million. I want nothing to do with it. I'm abandoning that ship.
Nice. Yeah, I think it's yeah, a
Happening
no-brainer.
at the same time as the NFC North getting actually pretty competitive. The Lions are on the way up. The Vikings obviously had a great year. Well, you know, but also like the Bears, which, you know, just mentioned that, you know, with the you know, they could actually improve as well. We'd expect them to improve next year. So Packers coming last next year. Hot take.
Oh. One more just before we finish that award, the Tennessee Titans, who I think will they finished this season very poorly. They sort
Seven
of
straight
ground it
losses.
ground yep, exactly. They ground their way into a good spot last year. You know, wasn't enough this year. And then I think, you know, Derrick Henry's a year older. We know running backs have a pretty short shelf life. They look terrible at quarterback. And so I think Tennessee are gonna continue to trend down over the next year or two.
They felt the effects of getting rid of one AJ Brown.
Yes, exactly. And as I say, you know, Texans could be on the way up and steal a few wins in that division as well. All right, just quickly, the two players, the best player of the award and the idiotic player of the award. Let's do these quick fire. Best player of the year. Who are you? For me, it's Justin Jefferson. That catch.
Yeah, and it's probably I think that's a
Taylor
great
Swift.
call. My other one probably involves the Vikings, and I think it's oh maybe it's not from the same game, but it was also when the Vikings played the Bills, and the
That's
Vikings
the same
like
game.
basically were defending at the 1 yard line, and then managed to get a turnover,
Josh Allen
and
fumbled
then
it or something.
yeah, so incredible, loved it.
That was game of the season, for
Yeah,
me.
oh yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Recency bias because it happened last week and I can't remember that much. But Naheem Hines in the first play of the game from the Bills back on the field after obviously what happened last week with DeMar Hamlin, the kickoff return touchdown by Naheem Hines. That was like,
Yeah,
that
that was
was,
cool.
I couldn't believe like what I was watching, you know, that's just sort of
Yeah.
unbelievable. So that obviously, I mean, I'm on board with the Justin Jefferson, but that was just something different. There's been
Another
some
one,
good
yeah.
ones. Dark horse one was Justin Fields at the most incredible run against the Eagles. Didn't actually get the touchdown, but yeah, next one.
Idiotic player of the year.
Oh, I think this is
Last
going to
one.
come down to two, but my one is definitely the Patriots against the Raiders when the game is tied up. Ramondre Stevenson laterals the ball to Jacoby Myers. Myers, for whatever reason, decides to pass the ball back instead of passing it to his quarterback, who he thought he saw there. He passed it to the opposing team, and the Raiders ran it over for a touchdown to win the game.
That to me is the most idiotic play in the history of NFL.
Correct. It
So
is
it's
awful.
yeah. So it's a great that actually will become the Jacoby Myers player of the year or whatever.
Yeah,
That's
absolutely. 100%. the Jacoby Myers Memorial Award.
Yeah.
It's hard to top it.
I think slight runner up comes up with the
P.
defensive
Walker.
player from the Packers, for pushing a athletic trainer from the opposing team, not once, but twice in two separate games this season. So big fine coming his
And
way.
more than anything
Yeah.
is like the week that he did it is literally a week after, obviously they were, you know, like after the DeMar Hamlin injury that he's pushed like someone helping an injured player. Like it's just horrendous timing. Not that it's ever okay to do it, but it's just like, it's just, you know, exacerbated even further.
I'd also add that player that did the was down like Snow Angels celebrating next to Nick Foles, who had just been knocked out or was
The
injured or something.
Giants, the Giants rookie,
Not a great look. Was it, who was it? Thibodeau or
Thibodeau? Thibodeau,
Thibodeau? Not a great look. But anyway, those are the awards. So I might go back through those and put them up on social media or something. See how the week goes. But anyway, what
Playoffs
are
are
we talking about
here.
next? What's that?
Playoffs are here. It's happening.
Playoffs are here, mate.
Yeah, we're through. We've obviously got some great games this weekend. The two teams that are on bye, the Eagles on
But
NFC, and
first,
then on the AFC, we've got the Chiefs.
we're going to talk about someone that's not in the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
Yeah, like obviously, are the Packers done? Like you sort of touched on it before. Like it's sort of hard to see how, if there's a way
I
forward
get
for Packers and the Rodgers.
put it this way, do we think Aaron Rodgers plays comes back next year?
I don't think so. I mean,
Yeah, I
the
think
guy's an
he I
idiot,
think
but
he's
he
more
doesn't turn down
yeah.
$60 million.
No, but what does he get paid if he doesn't return, doesn't he? Is he still guaranteed money? I'm pretty sure he's guaranteed half of
No.
it. Is that not is it
Not
my
if he, I
not
don't think
if he
if he
walks, if he
retires.
retires?
Yeah, no, I don't think he can get money that way.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what do you make of the obviously there's like the that I mean it's I don't think you can read into the I think was it Jameson Williams that requested his jersey after the Lions game and he was like, I'll hang on to this. I don't think you read in too much into that, but
I think it's just a
yeah,
young
it's
guy
a
just trying to, take his chance.
is Aaron Rodgers
Yeah,
like, who are you? Who are you?
well, also it's like giving a jersey to a divisional rival that just knocked you out of the playoffs. I think it's more like I'm pissed off. I'm not doing shit. I'm not like giving you my jersey.
Yeah, probably,
I
and then goes
think,
and burns it. That's quite good. I like it.
I think honestly, for me, the Green Bay Packers are one of the most dysfunctional organizations in the NFL. I've said it many times on this pod. The fact that you've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for 30 years as your starting quarterback, and you only have two Super Bowls total to show for it is awful. I don't want anything to do with Aaron Rodgers. I do think he comes back. We'll see what happens. But honestly, that Packers organization, they just have so much to do. They just look so awful on offense. I know they've got lots of rookie wide receivers, but they just looked very dysfunctional, could not get their shit together at all.
Well, it's going to be an interesting offseason because, I think you're right, Rodgers will come back, but it'll be interesting to see if the front office goes all in to build around him after what they've seen this year, or whether they sort of just try and stockpile and let him play out his career for another year or however many years he's got, and then sort of start the rebuild from beyond him.
Yeah, it's actually a shame that they're on the decline. Like you want to kind of see them being closer to their best while every other team in their division's starting to really build up, as I mentioned. So, yeah, it's kind of just a bad
Yeah,
timing.
that's a good point. I mean, it's like you add the fact that it's a division with a good team in the Vikings, a team on the up in the Lions, and a team that's probably also going to be on the up in the Bears. It's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, because for a long time the Lions and Bears have been pretty average, so that's probably like
Yes.
four wins for the Packers, and they've been notorious for getting double digit wins a lot in the last sort of decade.
This is a good argument. It's like has the Packers, the division inflated their regular season total and
Well,
explained that maybe
it probably
they're
has because
not actually that good when they get to the playoffs?
well, it arguably does when you look at the fact that as Thwaite said, the two Super Bowls over 30 years when they've made countless playoff runs, so they've been there, and often in the sort of top few seeds. More
Yeah.
recently, anyway.
The other one, just quickly, McVay, is he coming back to the Rams, or are the Rams in tear it down and restart mode?
I
Because
think he's
that's a
coming
long
back.
rebuild.
Stafford's coming back. I think he probably only does one more year though. But yeah.
I can't see Sean McVay finishing on that year. Like I,
No.
he just comes across to me like he's that sort of hype up guy, but he's too competitive. And
Yeah.
I think for him, I mean, yes, he may go to media or to whatever and then come back to coaching. That might be his thinking, but I don't think he would like to be. He's in the record books now forever as having that worst record for a defending champ. He'll want to come back and prove a point with Stafford and go. So yeah, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't come back.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. They'll try and rebuild things a little bit. All right, let's take a look at the playoff games this weekend. We've got six games, wild card round games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's pretty cool. Start on Saturday afternoon, 4:30 p.m. So, in the morning, in New Zealand time, on Sunday, Seahawks 49ers. How do you see this one playing out? For me, the 49ers are
49ers.
going to breeze through this one pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think so as well. They're huge point favourites. I just think 49ers defense is tough. 49ers, just Christian McCaffrey has looked unstoppable since going there. So I think even though that they're on their third string quarterback, I think Brock Purdy just gets a rolling.
It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty comfortable win. Whether it's comfortable on scoreline, like it'll probably be like a two touchdown sort of win.
Yeah, it feels like a defensive grind.
It'll probably feel more comfortable than maybe the scoreline suggests. But yeah, 49ers in control.
Yep, I agree. Chargers Jags Saturday night game. To me, this is one of the best ones of the round.
Yeah, this feels like a real coin flip of a game. For me, I'm going to go Jacksonville Jaguars. I like what I saw last week. Their defense is starting to click more. Trevor Lawrence is looking lights out on offense. They didn't even use Etienne that much in their win last week. The other reasoning is the Chargers are pretty banged up. I don't think Mike Williams is going to play their wide receiver. They've had lots of problems with injuries to their wide receivers. Obviously, that doesn't count out Austin Ekeler, their star running back who's been great for them this season. But I just think, the toll's too heavy, and I think Jags win that one.
Yeah, I think Mike Williams, that's a huge... You talk about it being a coin flip game. Mike Williams is kind of which way you might lean, and the fact that he's probably not playing definitely tilts it maybe slight in the Jags' favour. I actually... going to put a bet on this. I'm going to say that it goes to overtime. But I think it's going to be super. It's going to be real close, and it's going to go down to the wire. And yeah, I'm going to pick that all go to overtime. Who do you think, Si?
Yeah, I think Mike Williams might just be the deciding factor, as you guys touch on. But having said that, I'm not ruling out the Chargers even without Mike Williams. I think they're certainly good enough to get it done.
My only reservations is this is the first playoff game for Trevor Lawrence. It's actually the first playoff game for Justin Herbert, I think, as well. So that's why it's Saturday night. That's a great storyline that I'm sure will get thrown down our throats. But I think with like last week, I thought Lawrence missed a lot of throws, man. So he's going to have to play better than he did last week. If he plays like he did last week, then it's the Chargers. Like there were a couple of like wide open receivers. There was one of probably one of the worst like missed throws of the season. So yeah, he has obviously been improved markedly, but he's going to have to play better than he did against the Titans to get past the Chargers.
Yeah, this could be a big moment for these two young quarterbacks because whoever wins could really boost their profile as coming out of this game. So it'll be a big game for the stock of those two young guys. All right, moving over to the Sunday games. First one we touched on briefly earlier when talking about Tua. Dolphins Bills. I think this is a bit of a dud game now. Bills are winning this by three touchdowns and then just closing the game out three or four touchdowns.
Yeah,
they need to do.
NFL MVP quarterback Skylar Thompson for the Dolphins is not gonna win them that game. So yeah, definitely Bills comfortably.
Frustrating over the whole season for the Dolphins because they did look good with Tua. Dave, not even going to bother with your thoughts on that because I'm pretty sure you agree with that's
yep.
pretty unanimous there. So 4:30 game, Giants Vikings.
I'm going Giants for this one. I just think that the Giants defense has looked really scary. I just think Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones can just run the ball the entire game. Win the game that way. I just, even though that the Vikings are exciting on offense, the Giants defense is going to be too good for them, I think. So I'm going Giants here.
Yep, I agree. Let me just bring it up very quickly. Player stats. Daniel Jones threw for 334 yards when they played. So I think he's actually going to have a good game. I mean, the Vikings pass defense isn't great. So I think the Giants match up well. They've got a good defense to try and contain. They're not going to be able to stop Justin Jefferson all day, probably, but I think they can do it enough. I think that's the, if that's even deemed an upset, it's what I mentioned earlier in the pod where it's certainly one of the away games, away teams that I think will win the game.
Yeah, I think this is the division winner that is most likely to get knocked out here.
And, and yeah. as a And as a like a big hater of the Philadelphia Eagles, I like the Giants' chances next week against them. So I'd actually, yeah, I'd like the Giants to get through and then go into Philly. They hate them from last year for what Philadelphia did to them. So yeah.
That'll be a fun game as well. Big rivalry game. So, love that. Saturday night, Ravens Bengals. Well, we've talked
Such a
about how
dud
bad
game.
the Ravens have been. So,
That should be the Cowboys. That should be the Cowboys game Sunday night.
yeah. Well, now you've got three games on Sunday, and two of them are absolute duds at the moment. So, I'd even rather they just put, the Saturday afternoon game and put 49 Seahawks. But anyway, yeah, for me, yeah, all of us, I think Bengals pretty comfortably here.
Yep.
As Thwaites mentioned last week, I think it'll be interesting, or maybe in our chat, like the injuries that they've there was a couple of injured O-line guys for the Bengals. So that will be the Ravens' best chances, like second string O-line, or if that's who's playing, and try and get to Burrow. But yeah, Bengals surely going to win that. Be too good.
Monday night, Cowboys Bucks. Dave, how are you feeling?
I've mentioned this because we've known this is the match since probably week eight. It's probably like the most known playoff
Yeah.
game that early in the season. Yeah, like it's two people, Tom Brady, Mike McCarthy, Cowboys coach. I'm in two minds. Like, I don't think the Cowboys get very much further than this game if they win. I think it's going to be a close game either way. If the Cowboys win, Mike McCarthy keeps his job. They most likely get knocked out by probably the 49ers the week after. So I'd rather McCarthy goes. So I wouldn't be that sad if the Cowboys lost badly. In that regard, and then that will set it up for Sean Payton to go to the America's team, for next season. So, yeah, it's going to be mixed emotions in that regard. But I think, like, if I had to put money on, I'd say the Cowboys just win it. Would be my pick.
I reckon the Cowboys do this by 10.
Yeah, I think Cowboys won it by more than a touchdown.
I just feel like the way they exited the playoffs last year, I totally understand that it could be a trap game for them. But I just feel like the way that they exited last year, and like their offseason will be really, really turbulent. They've got a lot of decisions to make. So I think they win it by 10.
Yeah, I think Cowboys win that pretty easily. And I just haven't been impressed with the Bucs at all this season. And I know it's Tom Brady is at the helm there still, but it's a playoff game. But at some point they've also got to be good enough elsewhere, and I just don't think they are.
Yeah, that they have looked a little bit better in recent weeks than they did, say, a month ago. I think the Cowboys would have destroyed them a month ago. So it's, but
Yeah.
yeah, it's all good. That's us.
Looking for yeah, so this playoff weekend, it's great to have the playoffs back. Let's turn our attention quickly to basketball. Big news out of the Nets camp this week with KD out with a MCL sprain, I think. So he's out for between 2 to 4 weeks, I think, is the chatter. Kind of just disappointing, really. I think the Nets will be fine. It's not enough of an injury to fully derail their season, but KD was having one of his best seasons ever so far this year.
Yeah.
So pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I think disappointing is a way to describe it because everything did look super positive. It did look really promising. The team was really gelling. I think one of the things that doesn't worry me a huge amount is that the next 2 weeks, the games that they've got, they're playing teams like the Thunder, who can be pretty tricky, but they've also got the Spurs and a couple of teams like that. So it's not the worst schedule in the world. Obviously, the Celtics. They play them on Thursday this week, but I think it's not all doom and gloom. It could have been a lot worse for the Nets. I think the fact is they've still got Kyrie Irving, they've still got Ben Simmons, Royce O'Neal, T.J. Warren, Sumner. All these people that can come in. I mean, Joe Harris hasn't even been playing great basketball. So if he starts getting his rhythm back, I think the Nets are well on track. And even if they go 50-50, right the way until KD gets back. I'd be absolutely stoked at that. And I think
Yeah,
that's entirely possible. Plus, we have the trade deadline coming up.
I think it, most, most fans would say, if you could say, okay, he's out for 3 weeks, he misses 10 games or whatever it is, would you take a 50-50 record? I think you'd jump at that. You know, we've got a good enough record that we can absorb that, and come out the other side.
The thing is, to get 50 wins, which is usually enough to get a top four seed, they only need to go like 500 the rest of the way now, the whole season, let alone just in the time that KD's out. So, you're right. Like, if, you know, they've played themselves into a position where they can kind of absorb this if they're going to at the
now,
moment.
Now, would you, and I've asked this, but like, I'll put it on here. Do you think this brings forward any trades? You know, we've always felt like Claxton needs a backup center, and a big guy. And KD, while he's not physical, he is a big guy, a tall guy. So, like, do you think there's, you know, they sort of fast forward that sort of search or that sort of trade piece, given they've still got a month, but, you know, let's get them in sooner to help the rotation?
Yeah, I think all it does is, again, highlight the fact that there is a need for a big guy on this team. You know, it's a really small lineup without KD in there. So I think it probably doesn't speed it up by any stretch, but I think what it does do is just highlight the fact that it needs to happen even more than it did before.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to play without Claxton on the floor at the moment, without him and KD there. KD was huge on defense this year.
You know, the problem as well, actually, thinking about that, is teams know that as well. So you're sort of like, you know, you're on the back foot because you're more desperate. You need this to happen. And so if you're trying to acquire someone from a certain team, they'll be like, well, we know you want this right now. And so, you know, what you have to give up is more than you otherwise would. So your bargaining power has been reduced by the injury.
Exactly. But yeah, it's good. Doesn't sound like it's as bad a sprain as he had last year. So some good news on that front. Hopefully he's back.
I mean, like, if you, halfway through the season, like, we're halfway through the season now, and I think, you know, the Nets have surprised me. We talk about overachievers and underachievers in the NFL. I think they've kind of exceeded what I thought, just given the unknown with, like, Kyrie's obviously an unpredictable, Ben Simmons. But I think, you know, they've, you know, looked really good, particularly under since Jack Vaughn's taken over.
Jack Vaughn, yes. Yeah, no, I think that they've been good. They've blown me away, to be honest. And seems like the players are really bought in and love playing under them, which is pretty cool to see. So, which also bodes well for them to kind of step up a lot more than they did last year when KD was out. So we'll see what happens. All right, final topic of the night. So we're going to pivot slightly and take a New Zealand angle on this one and talk about New Zealand athletes just briefly, who we think will have a big year in America in 2023.
I'm going to start.
You start.
I'm going to start with friend of the podcast, Ryan Fox. Obviously, he's in the Masters this year. Absolute champion of guy. Can't wait to see him get in there and you know, play there and you know, hopefully have a cracker time there. You know, good on him. I'm really excited to watch that. I think he is definitely one to watch for me, definitely number one. I think the other one that's up there is Stephen Adams. Stephen Adams has had a great season this year. He makes people around him better. The way he sets up screens in the NBA. Ja Morant, you know, obviously thrives off that. So I think Stephen Adams and the Grizzlies are going to have a bit of a big year this year as well. So very excited for both those Kiwis this year.
Yep, I love that. I think Adams is playing some great basketball at the moment. His rebound totals are huge. And so he's in the Grizzlies going from strength to strength this year. One I'm going to pick out is in baseball and go the young Kiwi pitcher Kyle Glagoski, who just got picked up by the Cincinnati Reds. He was on the Philadelphia Phillies in their minor league team. I think this is a great move for him because the Phillies are trying to get a World Series. There's not going to be too many opportunities in the big league team there. The Reds are in full rebuild mode. And what often happens, particularly with pitchers, is they try and just give guys opportunities to see if, you know, see if anyone sticks when they're rebuilding. So I think actually Glagowski is a sort of dark horse candidate to get a major league opportunity this year if things fall right for him and he has a good season, and maybe there's some injuries. So keep an
Have
eye on
we
him this
had
year.
have we had any New Zealanders play in the major leagues, like actually playing
Nah,
time?
not actually. Like, there's been like Kiwis
I
that
know there's
have
been
been
guys in the
eligible,
squads or like
or like, yeah, or
wider.
like people that have been eligible to play for New Zealand's baseball team through like a grandma or something, but no, like, no born and raised New Zealander.
That's
So this will be
huge.
this will be the
That's
first.
huge.
So that would be
Yeah.
huge. So hopefully
Do
he
you
can
think
have a
they would
big
get
start to the
much
season.
coverage? Do you think they would get much? Do you think that? Yeah, that'd be.
Probably not on
That's.
Stephen Adams' level, but it would make the news, it would be on the news back home and stuff.
That's cool. Just on the Ryan Fox thing. Now my understanding is I think he's basing himself in the US. So he's obviously normally on the DP World Tour, which is Europe. He's based himself in the US for the first 6 months of the year. When he actually starts the season, it might be, say, the next 5 months. And that's all in the, around the Masters. And I think he'll probably be in the US Open. I'm not sure if he'll, how the qualification works for the USPGA, because they're all before the end of June. You know, it's one in each month, April, May, June. So that's kind of cool from him that he's actually going to like focus on, because he's not, the US golf courses are very different to European. And so, he's obviously going to go all in, do his get put his best chance to kind of do well, and then at the end of that, I'm sure probably come July he'll go over back to the DP Tour in Europe. So it'll be interesting. It'll be good to follow him, and you know, while he's in the US.
Oh, that'll
The
be
other
fun.
person,
He'll be in the playing in the right time zones and stuff. That'll be fun for us. Good.
I've got Israel Adesanya.
Yes.
Just obviously in the UFC, lost his title in November at Madison Square. I'm pretty sure he mentioned that he's got like a rematch clause. So I presume that'll be his next fight, most likely, and I think it'll be in Vegas. Now there is also talks that he's going to do, he wants to headline. There's been talks of UFC going to Africa. They've never had a headline in Africa. And so he, because there's a few, I think there's actually a few elite sort of Nigerian guys. So that would, you know, obviously Adesanya been spent, I think, 10 years, his first 10 years in Nigeria. So I think that would be, you know, something that could happen as well this year. But I think he's gonna certainly, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch him with the bounce back. You know, he's had pretty quite a lot of success in the last few years, and he's, you know, held on to that title and defended it. But you know, it'd be interesting to see how he sort of comes back from a from that loss.
Star athlete. One other one, motor racing for me would be Marcus Armstrong, young Kiwi guy. He's on Ferrari's academy program, reserve driver program. He's switching to IndyCar, I think, this year. So he's gonna have a crack at IndyCar. So keep an eye on him. Possibly the next Scott Dixon. Who knows? So he'll be one to watch in the US this year.
Nice. What's his name? Marcus Armstrong.
Marcus Armstrong.
Yeah, nice. Any more plates?
I think his dad owned, or dad or someone owns a motor company in New Zealand. Armstrong Motors sounds very familiar in New Zealand.
Very,
Yeah,
very familiar.
very familiar.
Last one I'll do would be Lydia Ko. I know it's, we don't want to do too much golf, but she's actually reclaimed the number one ranking. My prediction is she'll win a major. She hasn't won one since 2016.
Wow.
But similar, she's kind of like the Rory McIlroy of the female game. She's back in form. She's number one. She's like getting top tens every other major. So it's just a matter of time. So I think, you know, most of the women's golf is based in the US, so should see her name in the headlines throughout the year.
I think we've done pretty well here. I think like there's a few good Kiwi athletes across a few different sports that are set for big years. So hopefully they can pull it off. Hopefully we've, there's a couple we didn't list as well that do well and get us talking about them. But
Yeah.
looking forward to it. All right, gents, let's wrap it up for another week. Thanks so much for making it this far, and we'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the NFL playoffs this weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.